You know, before going to graduate school, I had worked in public policy and public health for years. And so I didn't go to back, I went back to graduate school when I was 32. So I'd had this whole sort of different life. And so that for me, and graduate school was this like wonderful treat to be able to sit and read, you know, Foucault and all the stuff about punishment. I mean, it was really great. And it did sort of affect how I think about things. But, you know, I guess I would say, so for instance, the project that I started working on, you know, I wasn't working on this. 6 months ago, I didn't understand myself as working on a project looking at how the drug problem in rural New England is being constructed. I was, and still am, working on a book called Rock Bottom, which is about the media and visual culture of addiction, which looks at celebrity, looks at elite media. I've published articles on kind of media coverage of performance-enhancing drugs, whiteness, Lindsay Lohan, celebrity, addiction. But I moved to this town that's it's a poor rural town in Vermont. It's often denigrated by people in Vermont, regularly denigrated by my colleagues. And everywhere I went, people said, made some reference to the drug problem. And I became fascinated with how sort of a town that's economically struggling uses the drug problem as the sort of reason for its struggles. So I became involved in the syringe exchange really sort of accidentally. I went to the pharmacy. I was looking for something from the pharmacist, and the pharmacist had a big sign up that said, "We will no longer sell syringes without a prescription." And I said, "Well, what's the status of syringes in the state?" And this pharmacist said, "You know, we can, but we're not going to anymore." And I said, "Why?" And she said, "Because, you know, people use them to inject drugs." And I said, "Well, isn't that good that they get their syringes?" And she said, "No, that they're liars, that sometimes they inject in the parking lot." And so I actually got in an argument with the woman because I said, I see you as a community health professional. Don't you have a stake in dealing with this? And she said, "No, our hope is that these people leave and go somewhere else, that they just leave Rutland." And so, which is where I live. So it was a sort of interesting moment for me. I ended up calling someone at the state. They put me in touch with this woman who drives 3 hours, who works for an organization called Vermont Care. She drives 3 hours twice a month to come here and do syringe exchange. So now I work with her doing the mobile syringe exchange. So the mobile syringe exchange was for me a sort of way of making some contribution to this drug problem in that countered the criminalization, which is one of the dominant ways it's dealt with in my town, not in the state, but in this particular town. and it was only actually fairly recently that I've started to see, oh, wait, there's something here. Like, I'm in the middle of this. I'm in the center of this thing that's happening. The governor just made a big speech about the drug epidemic. The New York Times picked up on it and is now saying that Vermont has an opiate epidemic. The New York Times has been talking about the drug epidemic, all that in quotes, in New England. And so all of a sudden, I'm in the center of the thing, and I'm seeing it from all these different perspectives because I'm also meeting with people at the local drug court. I'm going to start observing there. I'm sort of and so I'm watching it from different angles. And so I think the thing is about getting involved in things like syringe exchange is at some point you can do this because it doesn't, you know, maybe what will happen instead of it being because of your research, maybe you'll do it because your conscience kind of pulls you there. And then you'll see, oh, wait, there is something here that's maybe related to some of the ideas that have circulated in my other projects. And that's the thing, too. I mean, for me, a lot of my work has to do broadly with how sort of, quote, deviance gets defined and what happens to a deviant person once they're made. And that's a long historical process, and that also touches on so many different areas. So that for me, I bounce around because that's the bigger question I have. But here where I live, I see sort of what happens to these people who have been really denigrated simply because they're committed users of opiates. And so I really felt like to live here and to be a part of this community, I wanted to get to know that more. And the syringe exchange was the sort of way in.